right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
Yes, we do. And we love our listeners.
You. Yes.
This Valentine's Day week.
Yeah. I hope everyone has someone to love. If not, has a comic to love. Like Love Everlasting.
Correct. The book that we're reading this week.
Yeah. But first,
I was going to say something else, but I couldn't think of anything.
We got time codes in our description. We got back matter banners. We got the poll list, but we start with the news.
Before you can love, you listen to the news.
Yeah.
Daniel, what the hell's been going on this week?
Not a ton, but...
Not much.
Millie Alcock has been cast as Supergirl in the DC Universe.
Yep, I did see that.
She is...
What has she done?
She's in House of the Dragon. She is the young version of Rhaenyra Targaryen.
Okay.
Once you finish Game of Thrones, you'll get to that, and then you'll appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, I just finished season one, so I'm not there yet.
You're well on your way. So... By the time that movie comes out, you'll probably be just finishing.
Yeah, probably.
Hot D.
with how long it takes me.
Exactly. Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman at Phoenix Comic Con. That's pretty exciting.
Oh, Ryan's coming too?
Ryan and Stegman.
Oh, nice.
So that'd be neat. I don't know. I have a copy of Vanish, number one.
I do as well.
So I could get that signed by them if I have
a Venom number one.
You have a Venom number one?
Yeah.
Oh, I have a Venom number 9, like the Watchmen cover.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one to get signed. I have most of his, like, stuff, I think. Silver Surfer. Oh, I don't have Thanos. His Thanos stuff. But that's, like, the only thing. Like,
do you collect his Thor? Hulk, too. Yeah, I have a lot of shit.
I have his Hulk. I have his Thor. I have his Guardians. I didn't finish, like, some of those, but I have them. Daniel, Tidal Wave Comics. A publisher I only bring up when they're doing something weird. And they're doing something weird.
What was the last weird thing they did?
I think they always just do like weird biographical comics.
Okay.
And they're doing another one. And it is a Travis Kelce biographical comic book. The football player.
Do you know what position he plays?
Wide tight end.
Wide tight end.
A wider tight end. Tight end, right?
The widest of tight ends.
He is a pretty wide man.
Yeah. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. What team is he on?
Chiefs.
Okay.
He's going to the bowl.
Going
the
big to bowl. The big bowl.
The big game.
The big game. We can't say...
Legally?
You can't say that?
I had to do that at Microsoft when I worked there.
Nuts.
When I was like, when I was telling people like, oh, look at them. They're using Surface Pros for the big game. Like, I couldn't say Super Bowl. It was crazy.
I don't understand why.
What are they going
to
do?
I think someone explained it to me, but I'm like, that's still dumb.
Yeah. It'll be released February 7th, so by the time you're listening to this, it's out. It chronicles Kelce's college and NFL career, as well as his life on the field.
I'm going to probably read this. Wait, is it like a graphic novel comes out, or is it like a first issue?
I think it's a first issue.
Okay.
And I don't know who's drawing it. I'm trying to see.
I can't say that he'd probably be the most interesting player to get a comic, but that's still neat.
Wait, there's a Taylor Swift comic book too.
Oh God,
that they made. I think they're only online. I don't know if
digital
they
only.
Yeah, I think they might be digital only.
Should we read the Taylor Swift comic
for the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
that's not a bad idea. Whoa.
Anyway, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, it's not. But
what was the last thing that they did? That
dude, it was like, dude, I don't know. I just know I've heard them as like a publisher, and I think it's just for weird autobiographical stuff.
That's cool though,
or biographical.
Nathan. Mm-hmm. DreamWorks is making a Dogman movie.
Dogman?
Yeah, you know the comics Dogman?
No.
Look up the comics Dogman, and then you'll be like, oh yeah, I do know the comics Dogman.
And oh, the like kids book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Comics are for everybody.
There is
probably more aimed towards children, yes.
There's a movie called Dogman that...
it's not that one.
It's not that one? Okay.
It's where like it's like a dog that's like a cop or something.
Yep. Those went crazy at the Scholastic Book Fair.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Coming
a Dave Pilkey classic.
Should be coming out January 2025.
Wait, what is it again?
Dogman?
A movie?
Movie.
Okay, cool.
DreamWorks.
Nice.
Got it?
Got it.
Good.
Sorry. threw me off. Are we gonna read a Dogman?
You bet your ass we are.
Are we gonna read Dogman and Cat Kid?
Maybe. Is this a crossover team up book?
I think he's a Dogman original.
Those like books that were always like on the Comixology homepage, you know, for like super popular stuff.
Yeah.
You gotta get to those, you know, like Dogman, like
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Smiley or whatever.
Captain Underpants. I think
that's technically a comic. Yeah, I'd read that. I used to fuck those up, dude.
Yeah. Those are so. I think it's Dave Pilkey who did those as well. I could be wrong.
For sure.
Could be wrong, though. Can we read Dogman 20,000 Fleas Under the Sea? It's $9 at Target.
Yeah, that sounds like a depressing bio comic.
Just a pirate book.
Nice. All right, let's get into the book this week, Nathan.
Yeah, let's do it.
What do we read this week?
We read Love Everlasting.
By whom?
A comic book by Tom King, Elsa Charité. I'm going to look up the pronunciation. Charité? How do you spell it?
Charité. Matt Hollingsworth might throw him down for nominees and colors.
Oh, yeah. He's great. He's always been great.
Clayton Callis on letters. Emmer Price is the designer, which is a important part for this book. Marlar Isaac on editing. Oh, it's probably Isaac. It's a cool name. That's a cool way to spell Isaac if it's Isaac.
Oh, God.
Charité.
It rates as a 4 out of 5 on the pronunciation difficulty chart, which is difficult, but just under very difficult. So Elsa Charité. Yeah, this is like a Substack book. They were releasing it for free. Like, you don't even have to pay for their Substack. You could just like go to Substack and look up Tom King or Elsa. I don't know who is like posting it.
Is that how you read it?
No, I read it on Kindle.
Mm, so you bought it?
I did, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because I like to support the comic book industry, Daniel. Because you read it for free, illegally.
Not illegal. It was through government...
Public library systems.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying you support the government, Daniel?
No. Quite the opposite. I should steal.
Yeah, you should. No, don't do that.
Anyway.
And what'd you think? This is our Valentine's Day book. Good on us for finding the Valentine's Day book that like stops right when they kiss, you know?
Yeah, where
it's like you get right up to the point where the romantic stuff happens and then it like gets cut off. And that's
all
like,
about the chase, Nathan.
Yeah, I guess it is.
It's never, you know, the destination's the journey.
Yeah, that's why movies end with like a big kiss. You know, you don't care what happens after. It's like, yeah, they did it. But yeah, it's I didn't know what to expect and I was very confused on the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is this like a bunch of shorts or like anthology or something? And then
what I did was not read it like a couple pages at a time. I like made sure I had enough time to read like issue, like a whole issue at a time.
Yeah,
and I think
too.
That was the best way to go.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just like, you know, read a couple pages at work or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think looking into this, I knew about the time travel aspect of it. And because I'm like, this has to be more than just like a romance book, you know? But
yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I think that was like their whole point was that they don't really, you don't really see romance books anymore. And so they were like specifically trying to do that. And so I was like, yeah, it's probably just like a nice.
With a modern swing, you know,
to keep it interesting.
Keep current readers interested.
But yeah, this like Joan character's in some sort of weird time loop. And whenever she falls in love and does a big kiss or is about to get proposed to
or something
happens and she's in like a completely different situation doing the same thing with a completely different person.
And I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's, I thought it was good. I think Elsa is such a great artist.
Yeah.
And she's really good at like portraying different time periods, which I'm sure would be really tough.
Yeah. Cause
sometimes it's like Western, sometimes it's just modern day. Sometimes it's like 80s, 70s, and you have to like kind of differentiate them.
Yeah.
And sometimes she's like the main characters in like France somewhere or like Paris and then like America. And so there's like a bunch of different settings that I'm sure were kind of hard to nail down, but it was really cool.
Definitely. This is the first trade. I think there's 2 total. I don't know if it's continuously coming out.
It is continuously coming out because I think it's Dark Horse is publishing it issue by issue. And then they're also doing the trades. So they have to wait for the issues to come out. and then they can collect them after that.
It's Image.
Is it Image? Okay, yeah. That makes sense. I just, Dark Horse seems like they get all of those. So
yeah, they just snag them up.
Yeah.
Be like, your shit's done. Let's go.
Yeah. Are you done? Are people done reading it online? Because we'll do it in
control
person.
P that bitch.
Yeah. Send me the file. And yeah, let's go. So yeah, Joan Peterson's the main character. She's caught in like a classic soap opera love triangle between her best friend Marla and Marla's boyfriend George. Joan was hooked up with like a job working for George, so now she's working for her best friend's boyfriend, a little spicy, and she would fantasize about being with him, but has to watch George be with Marla. But one day George kisses Joan during like a late night at work that they were doing, and Joan like feels bad for like betraying a friend or whatever, but it turns out that Marla and George broke up, so Joan can now be with George.
Still kind of fucked up though.
Still a little fucked up because she didn't know. And then Marla's like, I don't know how I'd feel in that situation. Because it'd be like, you betrayed me, or at least you think you betrayed me. I don't know. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
It's like, because ultimately it didn't matter because they did break up. But I don't know.
And then, so we both know how Tom King can be. Being a little dense, a lot of captions, stuff like that.
Lots of captions.
I think he does better on this one, personally.
I agree.
But, you know, first issue, there's like whole panels.
That are just captions?
That are just words. And I'm like, oh my God, this is such a Tom King book, you know?
It is. But I feel like this works better because it feels like my brain is accomplishing more when I read just the panels with like the text on it.
It is more rewarding, yeah.
It's only on this issue. And then like some of the other panels get to be a little bit more dense. But I don't like having like a lot of words on like a panel.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just dumb for that. But like, I think it's nice to space it out like this. And this was a good strategy for them to do it.
To compliment like Elsa's art for these different time periods, it seems like Tom also like captures the drama and the dialogue really well to fit that. And so it's really neat.
Yeah, I agree. Like it's very, very dramatic, you know. And then like some of the more modern stuff, there's like a little bit more action and shit involved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool. It feels like you're watching like an old soap opera TV show or something.
Yeah.
And I like this opening explosion page. I don't know why there's an explosion or whatever happening, but it's very dramatic.
I think that's a cover. That's like one of the covers.
Is it?
What you're seeing, I don't think that's a cover. I think that is part of the book.
I think you're right.
But I think it was also used as a cover.
Yeah. Cheers to them for bringing back like word balloons on covers.
Yeah. I mean, you see it every now and then.
You do, but
they did it on purpose.
Yeah, I like it. But then there's like a hard cut to like a new issue. And they even go as far as to like put like the title of like that chapter or whatever. And they put like Tom King, writer, Elsa, artist, Matt Hollingsworth, like all of that. And so I'm like, okay.
15 pages in.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is a new issue, I guess. But no, it's the same issue. But it really, you know, complements the point that like they're trying to make. But it's a hard cut to like basically a new issue where Joan is in love with a local band singer named Kit, despite Joan's father's wishes, because she doesn't want him being with like some deadbeat. But Joan is confused because she's like, what about, wasn't I in love with George? Who's George? And then she's like convincing herself that she like loves Kit. And when Kit reveals to Joan's dad that he is the son of one of his business partners, her dad's like, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
this is great then. And then Kit and Joan can be together. But then there's another hard cut to like a different time period. And at this point I was really thrown for a loop. But what I do like is that they switch to such a drastic time period in this next one.
Yeah.
Because it's like all Western and stuff. So Joan's like working for her father. She's like doing cooking and cleaning duties. She's dating Chad, which is not a very good Western name, I feel like. That feels more modern. I don't know if there's any Chads in any Western movies I've ever seen, but it's funny. But Chad's about to pop the question to her, but she's now confused about George and Kit and who those people are. So Joan kind of goes a little bit crazy, and she takes her horse and rides for multiple days until the horse dies, and then she keeps on going, and she like passes out. But when she wakes up, a cowboy gives her the message that love is everlasting, and she gets shot and she wakes up in another love story, like in a hospital.
Sick with love.
Sick with love. Some of the chapter titles are pretty funny.
Yeah, no, they tickle me.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, every time she's fallen in love or like love seems to work out, some dude shows up and shoots her in the face, and then she wakes up in a different situation entirely.
Yeah.
So pretty strong first issue, I would say. Like, it makes you confused because it's like, what happened to George? But then Joan's like also...
in like an intriguing way.
Yeah, I would say. But like, you know what the questions are, and I feel like that's the hardest thing to nail sometimes.
Yeah, so these covers kind of like give you a taste of like what's to come. And then when there's all these jumps through time, it's like these little like checkpoints in a way.
Yeah.
And so anything that, any tool you can use to kind of split up a longer issue, like a first issue that's 30 pages.
Yeah.
I think this is just,
was that 30 pages?
Yeah, I think it's helpful.
Oh, yeah. It is. But I think it can kind of get a little bit tiring because you're like, okay, let me try and remember who Kit is, you know, or like who the new bitch this week is.
Yeah.
But yeah, issue two.
Real quick. So when the Western one, I think that's based in Arizona because she lives on Maricopa Ranch.
I did notice that. Yeah.
I was like, wow.
I'm like, that's like a street or something near us.
Dude, that's here, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, see episode two or
chapter two.
We
see when Joan was born, which is in like a huge Abbey property, but Joan is actually the daughter of the maid there that works. And Joan grows up with like the king's boy, Roger, and they fall in love one day when Roger takes Joan shooting. But Roger is supposed to be in like an arranged marriage type situation soon. And I think what they do really good in this one is that in just like a few pages, they have to establish that these two have been growing up together like throughout their lives into adulthood. And then Matt Hollingsworth kind of chooses different color palettes for the different time periods for when they're like basically like toddlers or kids to like tweens to, you know, modern day. So I feel like he does really good with handling that as well.
How do you feel about Elsa's kid drawings?
I think she's great.
Yeah.
I think she has like a very particular style where like most of the time people's like eyes are closed or something, or at least Joan's are.
Yeah.
To like express like extreme happiness or extreme sadness or whatever. But I think she does pretty good with kids.
I mean, like, I don't think she necessarily draws older people like wrinkly or anything. So these like shots where it's just their heads, it can be kind of difficult to tell. Looks great though.
But I think she does good with the proportions and how the kids have like really stubby like arms and legs.
Very round heads and stuff.
So you can definitely tell who's a kid and who's not. So Roger's father finds out about their relationship and they have to keep it professional for a while between them. Roger eventually decides he only wants Joan and they continue having like shooting trips together, but really it's just an excuse for them to go somewhere and be together. And then one day, Roger has Joan meet him at the cabin. So Joan does. But Joan admits that she never cared about him. And then Roger gets shot. And I like this reveal. Because it's like, it shows how many times Joan's been through this. And she's trying to like cheat the system now. So she pretended like she was falling in love with this dude for like her whole life, I guess.
Yeah, just to like learn how to shoot so she can fight against the cowboy.
Yeah, and she knew the cowboy was coming at some point. Right. And so I think that was cool. But
it's,
I mean,
like all these different like time periods that she's in, it's like she has this the whole life where she grows up and whatnot, you know, but it's just always misplaced and whatnot. So she knew in this one, like her fourth go around, that the cowboy was going to be coming.
So do you think that like when she gets killed, does she just like pop into the time when she's like professing her love or whatever, or does she like just restart her whole life and then at a certain point starts to vaguely remember what's been going on?
I think it's like,
because I don't really get the rules of it necessarily.
So I think she pops into a new time period, like the same age and whatnot,
but she's already lived a full life and she remembers, but
like
that
her memories are like you know, just like a whole different life.
So you think she popped in at like this moment when they're about to like, I don't know, propose or whatever?
No, I mean, like,
or do you think she's been playing him?
Like, maybe when, like, she probably popped in about, like, when they're older and then, like, the dad wants to, like, send him away and stuff like that. You know, when that's, like, when marriage is really, like, coming into play.
Yeah, that's true. Poor Roger gets the fucking shitty part of this whole situation.
Yeah, I didn't even know other people could see the cowboy, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. So I think that's what's cool about this is that they're giving us, like, little crumbs to, like, to grab onto and eat,
to nibble on
and be like, okay, so that's how that works. You know, like the cowboy is real. Mm. He can shoot real people. He can get shot at, you know, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But Joan was actually prepared for the cowboy character that keeps killing her. So Joan gets shot by the cowboy, but manages to kill him before he can deliver his like love is everlasting message. Cause that's something that he says every time. And then Joan and Roger die there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I do like this panel where the cowboy gets shot in the face and it looks like all these shotgun pellets are like ripping his face off.
It's yeah, pretty cool. It's like a silhouette.
Yeah. So pretty good action sequences for like a romance book.
So why does time reset for her?
When she dies.
Okay. But I feel like it also
resets. She has to be killed by the cowboy, I think.
And so without like spoiling, like, I feel like in like the first issue, you know, she doesn't get killed until like the end of that issue.
I think we weren't seeing that. Like, I think the cowboy comes in like next panel, you know, but like we don't.
Like they're in love?
Yes.
And get married and stuff?
Yeah. Like, I think in that first situation with George, when they're like kissing each other and at work or whatever, I think the cowboy just comes in like shortly after that, kills her, but she doesn't necessarily remember that part yet.
Hmm. Okay.
Because it seems like this is the only thing that triggers like a reset. Is the cowboy coming in. Okay. But then she like dies here, not necessarily from the cowboy. So maybe it is whenever she dies.
Well, it is from the cowboy because she has bullet wounds in her. Mm,
this is a good point.
From the cowboy gun.
good point.
It's not like she died of natural causes to Roger.
Yeah. I mean, bleeding out's pretty natural.
but gets you to bleed, Nathan?
Bullets. Only bullets. All right. Issue 3. This is a wild issue, but there's like,
this is like my favorite one.
There's a girl named Joan. She's graduating high school and she's has to make the tough decision.
She's Joan in all of them, right?
She's Joan in all of them.
Okay.
Yeah. But, she has to make the tough decision to stay in state to go to college with her boyfriend who's named Fred, or not risk ending up like her parents who are like constantly fighting and bickering all the time. And she thinks that if she's with Fred in state, she'll end up like them because her parents were high school sweethearts and now they hate each other. But she's also afraid of ending up like her shitty librarian who's always been alone her whole life. And I'm like, why is the librarian catching strays? Because I guess everybody hates her, but
I feel like a librarian would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I think if you like books, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
It didn't seem bad.
And I like how Elsa like dresses people here. Like the librarian has like those pointy glasses that, you know, I feel like is very stereotypical.
Of like the 70s or whatever.
Like a librarian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, very high school looking outfits for like the 80s or whenever this is set. So when Joan asks her librarian about love and stuff, she finds out that her librarian's name is Joan Peterson. And she used to have a thing with young Joan's dad, Bill, before she called it off after high school to travel the world. And then Bill's relationship faltered because he like lost his true love. And so he ended up dating some other bitch that I guess he was with in high school. And then eventually named his daughter after his lost love, which is Joan.
Which is wild.
Which is like, why would you do that, Bill?
After your ex, bro?
Yeah,
after that your would never ex. Fly.
Yeah, absolutely not. No wonder they fucking fight all the time. Like, it's Bill's fault.
Yeah.
And now you fucked up your kid's love life. And so young Joan decides to stay in state with Fred so he wouldn't be the one that got away. And I was like, I think they look similar.
Yeah.
But I thought it was like a time travel thing.
Where she's talking to like herself?
Yeah. I thought like old librarian Joan Peterson was talking to like young Joan Peterson. And I'm like, I don't know how this works. There must be a new rule to this, you know, universe that they've created. But no, just a weird, you know, situation. But so Fred's like, sweet, I'm happy that Joan's staying. Let me go get your books in the library or whatever. But when he goes into the library, he puts on the bandana to reveal that he's the cowboy.
What?
Which makes no sense.
His face is his secret identity.
Yeah, I know. And he's been looking for Joan to kill her.
Joan Peterson is a librarian.
And then he delivers the love everlasting message and then like kills her supposedly. But I was like, how long has he been Fred? Like, how long has he been a kid in school? And has he known that this has been Joan? And like,
how old is the cowboy?
How does he reset as well? That seems like, because it seems like,
I don't know,
he's an adult. So I'm like, this really fucks me up because I don't really know.
So I'm like, why is he killing Joan now? You know?
Yeah, because like she's not in love with anybody.
Yeah, and she's not running away from love.
She did
like 20 years ago.
I think he does mention that he's been trying to find her for a while. So I think he's just really late. But then if he's been trying to find her for a while, he's pretty fucking old. And so you can't pass as like a high school student, I would think.
Yeah.
And so like, it's weird because the rules of this whole situation are kind of getting revealed slowly. But then I'm also very confused by this issue. But I think it was a banger issue. It was just funny when he like walks into the library, he like puts on a bandana that he like had in his pocket to reveal he's in, like Perry the fucking platypus.
A platypus?
A high school kid.
A cowboy.
A cowboy. Yeah. It's bizarre. So
issue four.
After that one. So Joan is now like a 1915 French bar opera singer performer. And banger job, it seems like.
Yeah.
She meets a dude named Dane, who Joan was like talking to after her performance. She's like supposed to do that for like money or like help to get people to come back in.
But there was something about Dane.
But she likes talking to Dane. He's like a, you know, he's like a soldier dude. He's humble, like a nice military man. And he eventually ends up occasionally coming back to this bar to remember like his fallen friends from war. And one day Dane comes back after another friend of his was killed. The third time he meets her. And he's like, I like Joan a lot. And he asks to marry her, but Joan has to like deny him. Then there's some talk about how he had to like lay next to his dead friend for like 3 days in war and pretend that like, he was dead so that he could leave with his life. I think there's like a sniper, like
something like that. Yeah.
Trapping him there, which is pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But good fashion.
Yeah. So I think she's being very like cautious.
Cautious. Yeah.
Thank you. And she wants to say yes mm-hmm. to the proposal on their third meeting.
Yeah. This one seems very real for her.
But she's not sure like how to handle this situation that she's in.
Because she knows if she accepts, Dane will probably die, which would be fucked up.
And if she runs away, she'll die, I guess.
Which is also fucked up. Yeah. But she does deny him, but mm-hmm. she does still like him. So I don't know. When does the cowboy decide like, okay, now's the time?
Yeah.
Is he watching her in the bar?
I thought I understood clearly when I was reading it, but now like,
but now
looking back, I'm like, I don't really know what the rules are here.
I don't know either. It's never explained. He comes back after a few more months when the bar's like closed and he's like, all my friends are dead. So they dance in the bar to no music, which is nice. And then Joan professes her for real love for him and they do a kiss. And then there's like a hard cut to just another love situation again. So didn't end up working out, but it seemed like she really wanted that one too. So
no. She said like when they're dancing, like she didn't want him to go away because he might not come back, you know? And yeah. So she's like, oh, I'll marry you.
Yeah.
And I know like a way out to where you can leave the war, you know? And so then they kiss and then it cuts to the new story.
So what, that whole universe died? That's how he gets out of the war?
I guess. Or like, I don't really know what happens to him.
How does that stop him from his situation?
This might be like,
I like to think that she gets snapped.
I might need to read volume two just because I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, I know. I kind of need to know.
I need to follow up on every story.
Because we don't really know like what's happening definitively in this trade. It's not like a very good like ending point
like,
for
her
trade.
Like she knows she'll be transported somewhere else, but she doesn't know that Dane will.
I like to think if we don't see her get shot by the cowboy, she just like gets snapped, you know?
Basically.
Like she just turns to dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. My note here is just, I'm confused. Like, sometimes she's in the middle of being in love, and other times it feels like she lives a whole lifetime. So, I don't know.
Which makes this last issue even more confusing.
Yes. Because Joan goes to see Penny Page, who's some kind of like dating psychologist person.
Yeah.
And she seems to know like Joan a little bit by name. And Joan is confused on how or why she's even there right now.
Got an appointment.
Yeah, I guess she made the appointment. Yeah. What I like about this one is that there are like mini flashbacks or like mini love story arcs that we see throughout the issue as like things are kind of getting explained.
Yeah, new ones.
Yeah, like new ones.
There's a pirate one.
I was like, give me a full issue of a pirate one, right? Am I crazy? I want to see a pirate love story. Pirate
love, yeah.
Yeah, she looks great in it too because she's got some sick pirate fashion going on. But yeah, Joan tells Penny about like what's been happening to her, even like up to the cowboy. And then Penny just like rolls with it. She's like, okay. And she's like asking her questions about it, like why she turns some of these men down. And then Penny reveals how this upsets Joan's mother, which is why she sent the cowboy to kill her. So Penny like knows about everything that's going on with Joan.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's your mother that's been doing it. And up to this point, the only thing we knew about who sent the cowboy is like, he just said like she wouldn't want this to happen or something like that. So we thought it was just like some girl, but it turns out to be Joan's mom.
So Joan's mom doesn't want her to be in love or run away from love. Or is this just her way of like approving of whatever man she falls in love with?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I think so. The bad love is when I don't think she wants her to be in love at all. But then when she runs away from love, she's also getting killed. So I think it's just a bad mom.
No, I think she wants to get married.
But like the right way?
I guess.
Maybe she's like a big Christian mom. She's like, you need to fall in love with a Christian boy.
I don't know if like a time wizard would be a Christian, you know?
Good point. And like, I like the sequence where this is all kind of getting revealed because Joan drops her drink. And then like over 9 panels, we see like the drink spill start to like spread.
Lazy.
But I think it's kind of cool because it's like.
No, I mean like more. Liquid comes out somehow, but
I think just
if you drop the drink, it would come out from the drink. Already.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just like
it's not like it's being poured out slowly. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you spread the carpet or whatever.
But I think it's an interesting way to do that rather than just having like I don't know them talking to each other face to face.
Yeah.
Also, like an interesting thing that they're doing deliberately is that like the time period is kind of changing mid conversation. Like, they're still in Penny's office, but sometimes it looks more like Renaissance era, and sometimes it looks like a weird 70s era.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't really know why that's the case.
Just to show that...
Maybe they've had this conversation many times.
Well, maybe that, but also that... What's her name? Peggy or something?
Penny.
Penny. Also, can jump through time, I guess.
Time travel.
Yeah, and, like... Is that aware of her situation? She's not just some crazy lady in the 70s?
Maybe Penny's always there. And after she falls in love but doesn't get killed, she fucks up the relationship somehow. And she has to go to like counseling. And then Penny's the one that's always there.
This is just to
tell her business that she fucked up. I don't know. But Penny talks about how her mom paid good money for her to talk to Joan and how Joan always handles love wrong, I guess, which is why the cowboy comes because her mom.
The cowboy what?
He comes and then murders Joan. So Joan like threatens Penny with a knife or like a letter opener. So Penny's like, all right, let me call your mom real quick. And then they go to the top floor of whatever building they're currently in, which is a little bit weird.
No, the mom's coming down to her office.
Oh, okay. Well, she was at the top floor.
Yeah, she works in the top floor, yes.
And then, like, the cowboy comes out and then fucking shoots Joan and it throws her back into another love loop. And that's the end of the fucking trade. So we get no answers.
Yep.
But it was a good time.
Yeah, I think this is a good halfway point, you know? Because, like, it wasn't just, like, another love story thing. And we were like, I still don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It gives us, like, a little nugget of, like, closer to the... You know,
if
the answer
is a nugget. The whole meal better be like a 10-piece McNugget meal because
need
like,
9 more nuggets
because there's so many there's
extra
nine,
sauce.
There's 9 nuggets of information that we need for this whole shit to make sense. But regardless, it's a pretty good time.
Yeah.
So I like it. So, but I think it does make this trade ending a little bit tough because it's like I don't know what to do with this, you know, other than just like read the next one. But imagine we were reading this.
He's like, because it's like a, you know, like a soap opera kind of thing. You know, it's very episodic and it's got to be like, every issue is like pretty different.
Yeah.
You know, and so part of his job is to keep you wanting to read.
This is
and
true.
And that's what he's doing here.
I think, give me two nuggets at the end.
Two nugs?
Two nugs. At least show the mom, right? Am I crazy?
Nah. I don't want to see the mom. I'd be okay if we never see the mom.
The mom's just fake.
Like if this ended at like issue 10, but we never see the mom, I think it'd be kind of cool.
That would be ballsy.
Because why do we just need to like see a design of like her mom, you know?
Be like, hey, bitch, it's me.
It's just her with like gray hair, basically.
What if it is Joan? What if Joan is mom?
Whoa. What if we just spoiled it?
Accidentally.
We're like trying to get people into this book.
I need to read on.
And then we just spoiled it.
Yeah, I need to read on just to fucking figure it out.
Because like it's like her in the future because she has messed up her love life so many times. So she's like sending herself back.
Sent a cowboy for herself.
To be killed. But she doesn't die somehow.
But then like what would be her goal? You know?
To pick the right husband.
I guess.
Well, I guess like if you're the future self and you watch like your past self and you watch them like go through life and fall in love with somebody, you automatically have the memories of how that marriage works out because you're the older person.
Yeah.
If you're in a specific time paradox or whatever.
But like.
So she's just waiting until she finds the right one.
You order yourself to be killed, I would be a little scared that would have negative repercussions for me. Oh. She's like, maybe we should try this. I don't know. Call me crazy. Maybe I should kill myself, but in the past.
Yeah.
No, that's probably not what it is. But I like that idea.
We gotta theorize.
Maybe he hasn't shown who Joan's mom is yet. Because I think this is still ongoing, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe we'll find out next Valentine's Day.
Next Valentine's Day, Love Everlasting 2.
Nah, I'm just kidding. We have a lot of romance comics, actually.
Yeah.
I write them down as I find them.
Like what?
We got a pretty good list.
I know we have like...
Romance.
Lore Olympus.
We have Hellboy in Love.
Ooh, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there's this manga called How Do We Relationship? And I think that'd be fun.
That sounds fake.
No, dude. Manga names are absolutely ridiculous. And
that's like saying, how do we adult?
Yeah, basically. I think like this is just like the Americanized like version of that title. Like that, you can't like say that.
You can't translate.
In Japanese, you know? I'm sure it means something that totally makes sense in Japan. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Back matter matters, Daniel.
Yeah.
Back matter matters.
We get some creator bios. There's a Tom King one. And he's like, yeah, I made The Vision and The Sheriff of Babylon and Strange Adventures and The Human Target and Superman Up in the Sky, which we have yet to read.
The Walmart book?
The Walmart book, yes.
I would rather get to like five other Superman stories before Up in the Sky.
Why? Why are you so against it?
Because there's just other ones it's that I'm Adam more interested in.
Adam Kubert.
Not my favorite artist.
He's great. What are you talking about?
He's a legend, yeah, but there's others I would pick.
King served overseas in the Iraq and Afghanistan war.
Oh, dude, Elsa...
And he was a CIA agent. I always think that's funny.
Elsa Sharti did November.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's why I want to read it.
We'll have to read that in November. I swear we'll do it this November.
So after all of our Halloween our horror books, then we'll do November.
No, we'll do V for Vendetta and then November.
Yeah.
Do I have anything?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, no. We have Venom 3 as well.
Assuming, fuck, I forgot it was a movie. I haven't seen the second one yet.
Really?
I don't want to.
You'll like it.
Elsa also has like a pretty good YouTube channel. I've seen a lot of her videos.
Oh, really? She draw?
She doesn't draw, but she analyzes comics and why they're like good.
Is she French?
She's pretty French.
She have a French accent?
Yeah, she does. And nice. It's called Comics Case Study. I think she had like a really in-depth review of like Saga or... I think two of the ones I saw was like Saga and Matt Fraction's Hawkeye and like why those are so kind of groundbreaking for like comics as an industry. It's really good channel. So definitely recommend that out. And Matt Hollingsworth, apparently he is the one thing I learned about him is that he lives somewhere else. Hold on.
For some reason, this is exactly how I pictured Matt Hollingsworth.
I didn't know he lived in Croatia, though. That's kind of crazy.
That's pretty neat. Where's Clayton Cowles from? New York.
Yep, upstate New York.
In a house.
Dude, that's crazy.
That letter of money, dude.
Dude, I mean, he does like a million books.
That's true. That's the only way you afford a house.
Yeah. And then we got some banger covers, Daniel. I've seen some of these on the stands. Clay Mann, are you joking?
Are you shitting me, dude?
Get him on an issue.
Comics.
Tula Lote. We got Matthias Bergara, one of my favorites. Rafael Albuquerque. Terry and Rachel Dodson on one. Stepan Sejic. Sean Phillips did a cover.
Wait, what's YouTube is called Comics Case Study?
I think so. Just look up Elsa, her name. She said she's launched a Comics Case Study YouTube channel, so maybe it's not called that.
It's just Elsa Charty channel.
Yeah.
She's got like interviews and stuff. These are like super well like produced.
Yeah. The one that I like is Case Study : Marvel's Hawkeye. That's like one of the cooler ones.
15K subscribers, dude.
Yeah, I know.
What a legend. But she doesn't even need comics, dude.
She doesn't. I mean, she could do this.
She's like, get the fuck out of here. Nathan, what's your favorite cover?
I really like the idea of Clay Mann doing like a romance book, because he's always drawing like Batman, like super badass and stuff. But I think like probably the Sean Phillips one.
That's just because it's Sean Phillips. That could be a page from Criminal. You wouldn't know.
All right. Fuck you then. Let me look at these.
That is a good one.
No, I like the Clayman one.
Leslie Hung is pretty good. It's a good name too. My favorite is Jenny Frison.
Where's that one?
Top right.
Oh, yeah, top right. That's a good one.
I just think it's cool.
That's a good issue one cover, if that's what it is.
I think the Elsa one is the issue one cover. The second one next is to the Clay Mann.
Oh, okay.
That's the one that I'm aware of. That's what I thought the trade cover was going to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love some variants. We love some variants.
We do love some variants, but that's it for Back Matter.
Yeah, you know, a little nibble.
This is a Substack book, you know. It's not like we're gonna have,
you know,
a lot.
Could have had some pencils.
Actually, if it was a Substack book, I feel like we'd have more, because a lot of times they release an issue and they're like, "Yeah, this is like my dog in the that I drew. I just took a picture of my dog and now he's in the comic, so that's cool." You know, like it'll always be like shit like that. So
there is something. You remember a couple months ago when Tyler Boss? You remember his like car got broken into or something, or stolen?
Yeah.
And there was like pages in the back.
Yeah, I do.
So there's like a picture that he posted online with like his hatchback open. And then someone put that picture of like, and drew like his car, like, and put it in like a junkyard in a comic somewhere. And I thought that was really funny.
That's awesome. They're like, I need a reference of a hatchback.
I think he just put it in there because it's a funny story.
It is a crazy story. Like, I imagine the person that stole the car has no idea what
it
has.
Oh, it was in Duke. Tom Riley drew it.
Oh, Tom Riley did?
Wow. Yeah.
I wonder if that's good. It's got to be, right?
Like, see, in the middle there, you can see his car. Because there's like...
Oh, yeah.
There's like gasoline in the back or whatever.
Yeah, I do remember seeing that when he posted it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that one?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Because he still sold the shit. You know, the pages and whatnot, they're just like smelly. And dirty.
Oh, that's how he found the pages?
So
did he find his car and there's just gasoline poured over the pages? Or?
I guess. I don't know. No, I don't remember. I don't remember specifically. I remember his car got stolen. I'm like, that's crazy.
And I was like, dang, that sucks. We had him on the pod. I wish I could help, but I'm in Arizona. All right, Daniel.
I stole it.
What would you that would be crazy. What would you rate this book?
I'd give it like one of those C's candies, like heart shaped boxes.
I think that's a good rating, because you get different chocolates and these are all different.
Yeah, sometimes
time
you get like
stories.
A nuts one, you'll get like a chewy one, you'll get like a truffle.
Yeah.
And I love variety, because every issue is a little different.
Yeah.
And it's some high quality stuff here.
It is some high quality stuff.
And it'd be something I would try and give to Sarah, but she wouldn't like it and I would eat it all. So kind of like what a comic would be.
I think that's the best way to rate this book.
I like fuck up Valentine's Day like every year because I get her like flowers and chocolates, you know, like the basic like gift or whatever. She's like, I don't even like chocolate. Will you give me shit? I'm like, what are you talking about? And I eat all of it. I'm like, this is the good stuff.
Sophie's pretty easy when it comes to Valentine's Day stuff. Loves the flowers, love the chocolates.
Sarah wants like ingredients to make like her own like Italian soda. I'm like, okay.
That's very romantic.
Like she wants like about that? She wants like the syrups and stuff that they can make that they have at like Dutch Bros or whatever.
Happy Valentine's Day. I got you some syrup.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she's just a random craving.
Do you have your Valentine's Day planned yet?
So I'll probably make her dinner, but like
that's romantic.
Yeah, but I could get steaks and stuff, but we have steak like once a week kind of thing. So it's like hardly romantic.
Well, you gotta do some crazy. Like make a steak in the shape of a heart. Make a smaller steak for her to eat.
Yeah, or just get a big steak and then cut it.
Yeah, I think we're gonna try and do sushi this year.
Gonna make sushi?
No,
buy you're gonna it. Go to sushi place.
Go buy it. I mean, someone makes it for us.
Go to Safeway and get sushi.
Oh, good idea. I could pretend like I think made
Sprouts
it.
Has like $5 rolls on Wednesday.
I love grocery store sushi.
Yeah, I'll eat that shit all day.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like every day's a date, you know? So it's hard to make.
That's such a cop out.
It's hard to make Valentine's Day special. Are you doing shit like on Tuesday or whatever day it is?
It's on Wednesday, so...
It is on Wednesday?
We'll probably have to change the pod
dude,
day.
Dude, Sprouts. No, dude.
No, we're changing pod day.
No exceptions.
Spend Valentine's Day with my bro?
Can you believe that Nathan's being such a simp right now?
Who's in the wrong? Pull up your phones now and vote.
I'm going to post the episode one day late because of Nathan.
Fucking, we can do it early if you want.
I'm just kidding. We can do Thursday or whatever.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's get into the poll list, colon.
Chip in your box.
The poll list, what did you shove in your box?
Speaking of intimate time with your partner, let's shove some things in our box, Daniel.
Yeah. Was there a World's Finest Annual?
There was. I didn't know about it, but Jorge Fornes is on it.
Cool. So... annual is like a thing that comes out like annually, right?
Correct.
But this book's been it's around like issue 25 or something. So
23 is what just came out.
So it's been coming out for like 2 years.
I don't think they thought it was going to be that long lasting.
I don't think anyone really does. You know?
Yeah. You think like, even if it's like a banger, like Mark Waid, Dan Mora.
Yeah.
Like you're like, you we'll know. Maybe get 6 issues out of this.
Yeah.
We'll do a fun Batman, Superman and Doom Patrol story and see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
But it's great. I picked that up today. I picked up 3 things today, and I left my comics in Sophie's car, and I can't remember for the life of me what the third thing I got was.
Was it Avengers Twilight 2?
Oh, yeah. Avengers Twilight 2. Thank you.
Wait, what was the third thing you got?
Alan Scott number 4.
Okay, who gives a shit?
I do. It's pretty good.
So is Avengers Twilight, didn't that last issue come out last week?
I think I realized this week that it's a weekly book, perhaps.
How long is it?
It's got to be like 5 issues only, right?
I guess. Is it the same guy? Who does art?
Daniel Acuña.
He did all Acuña. That's crazy.
So I unless they've really that's planned so this lead time, ahead of dude. Time. Yeah. Even just to do 5 issues in a row would be a lot of lead time. So I can only assume it's like 6 max.
Yeah.
Did you read the first one yet?
No.
Okay. That's fine.
Are you going to get Moon Man number 1?
I didn't see it at my shop.
A book by Kid Cudi?
Kid Cudi book.
Are you going to if you go back?
You should prioritize reading it and then tell me if I should pick up Moon Man.
I hope it's like the coolest shit ever. It looks and good. Then it's gone they've by the got, time you go back.
They've got good talent on there. There's a letterer I follow called Hassan Oatsmane Elhow. He has a YouTube channel as well that I think is really good about analyzing comics.
Hmm.
And he like just recently became a letterer.
Nice.
And
could we be letters?
Huh?
Could we be letters?
Yeah.
The letter team?
A lettering team? We get paid so little between the two
why
of us.
Why do they need like, 2 people?
Yeah, that's what everyone would ask.
I think it's like...
They're like, whose bank account does this go into, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like I feel like he's always just on like pretty good books so far. So he's on Moon Man. Okay. And so I'm like, maybe it's a good book. I don't know.
It's pretty neat. Cool. Did you read anything?
I did, Daniel.
What'd you read, Nathan?
Batman Gargoyle of Gotham number 2.
Uh-huh.
I read Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong number 4.
4.
And like, I don't know what it is about the books that I decided to read this week, but both of those two had a line in there that I think was trying to be really cool, but it was so funny to me that it like made me laugh out loud.
Okay, like what?
It's like not really a spoiler for the Gargoyle of Gotham one, but that one like made me laugh the hardest. There's a character that he like introduces, and like part of his shtick is like moths. Like there's a bunch of moths around, which makes it like really kind of freaky.
Okay.
And someone figures out that their dad is this moth person. And so when they figure that out, they're like, "Dad?" And he's like, "No, call me Mother." And it reads like mother, but no, it's like because of the moth, it's Mother. And I'm like, that's so funny. What a fucking line.
I that was Raphael like, this Grampa, has to do with mother somehow.
Raphael Grampa blessed me with this bizarre line.
Is the Godzilla one like a spoiler?
It is.
I'll take your word
for it. But I'm going to say it.
All right.
Someone just says, "Release the Kraken." And there's like a Aquaman's Kraken comes out and helps fight some monsters.
Oh, for sure. That's not really a spoiler.
Yeah, not really. But that part's really fucking cool. I'm like, there's monsters fighting in the fucking ocean right now. Like Godzilla's swimming around there and shooting his beams in the ocean. And I'm like, this book's incredible.
I'm sorry.
It's actually way better than it like deserves, than it needs to be.
A lot of those wacky Justice League books tend to be that way.
Yeah. So yeah, you got to get to it.
Cool.
I also read Alan Scott Green Lantern 1-3.
Oh, you hadn't read them yet?
I hadn't. They were sitting there. I'm going to catch up on my Green Lantern books.
I thought you said,
I read half of the first issue before I had to leave and go do something. And I was like, it's pretty good. But now I know it's like pretty interesting because they're doing like a little dance where they try and weave in that he's been like gay the whole time. Like this character who like recently was like officially became gay, I think, in like 2021.
No.
And he was gay in Earth 2, but that's like technically a different one than what is now in continuity. And so
okay,
this book like jumps between like some different time periods. Like there's somebody that's killing his past like love interests, pretty much. And he was like, people didn't even know I was gay until Infinite Frontier, I think is when it happens. And so it's like interesting trying to see the writer Tim Sheridan weave in points in like actual continuity where he was like closeted, and I think it's really cool.
For sure.
There's also a power that he has that I didn't know about, and he could just like phase through walls when he's like lanterned up or ringed up, and I was like, this is interesting. But yeah, it's a really good book.
Great.
And that's all I read.
I read Silent Night number 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you read that?
No, I don't even know if I have it.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's like one of those things where I just bought number 1. If I like it, I'll buy the rest. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know if I'll just like go catch up on it or whatever.
Right.
But we'll probably make like a good like Christmas book one of these years.
Yeah.
I think we have a couple things that would be priority over it. But
like what? The Deviant?
Like The Deviant or like Friday by Ed Brubaker.
Oh, yeah. We should do two Christmas books this year.
Let's do 4.
4?
Christmas month.
Christmas month. We'd run out so fast.
Hold on. How many do I got here?
I would only do a Christmas month if we can do the second or another.
I have 6 Christmas books on here.
Whoa. Tell me them.
So there's Happy by Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
There's Friday.
Okay.
There's Krampus. I guess there's a Krampus book.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Deviant, Silent Night. And there's a Lobo Christmas special I heard about. I think it might be a one shot, but it might be kind of cool to do like Christmas specials.
A few of those are Christmas books in the way that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, you know? Like they just happen to be maybe set in Christmas time.
I think
like Happy is not a Christmas book, right?
Happy,
it's not about Christmas.
The villain is like a mall Santa. And I think that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
So, I'm leaving it.
I'm wrong.
Yeah.
We could do a full month. We just burned through all the Christmas books.
That's what I worry about.
Yeah. Like, I don't think...
Maybe if we decide...
The churn rate of us reading Christmas books versus how many Christmas books are coming out is not equivalent.
We could do like 2.
We could do 2.
We could do 2. Maybe. Depends on how...
I just love Christmas books though.
December
dude.
Is like just so packed with like shit coming out.
Oh, yeah. And typically, there's a lot of movies.
And I like to line shit up, you know?
Yeah.
So far, we just have the Sonic movie.
Are we reading a Sonic book?
Yeah, just Sonic comics.
Sonics?
Sonic, yeah.
Somnics?
Okay,
fair enough.
And there's like a run.
Are we going to read an Avatar book when Avatar comes out?
We'll get into that because that comes out like...
Okay, like May on. Or something, right?
Shut up.
The show?
We'd have to read it like as our next book.
Really? Is that close?
Yeah, the 22nd.
Oh, hell yeah.
February.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll get into that. We'll figure out which one we're going to do.
Anyway, I read that pretty good. I started a new manga called Jagan.
Is that the one that you sent me?
Yeah.
Where there's frogs fucking flying out of the sky?
Yeah.
And I was like...
You know what's even better about those frogs?
They eat you?
They go into your skin.
Ew, dude. That's what I'm scared of.
And they like possess your body.
Ew.
I screenshotted a few things I wanted to show you to kind of describe this book.
Jesus Christ.
So all the...
For those who don't know...
All the people in it are weird. So yeah, go ahead.
For those who don't know, I have like a... Probably like an irrational fear, but like of frogs, because they're weird and gross and you never know what they're thinking and they could jump on you and give you warts.
They give you warts?
Yes, dude.
I didn't know that.
I had a friend.
Some are poisonous.
Remember Justin, my friend? In like elementary school? He used to like catch frogs and he'd come to school with fucking warts all over his arms and shit.
Yeah. Were they temporary?
Gross. Yes. Okay. Not permanent.
No.
I don't think he would like catching frogs if they were permanent, but I think it depends on the kind of frog. Also, like the cool ones or the poisonous ones? Are you kidding me?
The colorful ones?
Yeah. I'm like, those
the ones you want to touch?
The ones I'm like, those are kind of cool looking, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Because like toads are fucking weird to look at. Like if you're staring one they're, in like, the face. They're
lumpy and wrinkly.
Yeah. And I've seen too many internet videos where they just jump at you. But like they don't tell you, you know.
So like, hey, like a dog, heads up, I'm about to jump.
A dog will like show his teeth or like growl, you know. A frog could be chilling or it could be ready to jump into your mouth. Like, yeah, exactly. Like so fucking fast too, which is why I'm not a big fan.
Anyway, back to Jagan. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
But this is like one of those mangas where like everyone is just drawn kind of weird, like everyone's faces and stuff and just like their facial expressions. Like Look at these just like kids, you know, everyone's just drawn like a little funky.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little unsettling.
I think like, yeah, they just choose. It's kind of like when SpongeBob would be like a little bit too like detailed.
Yeah. It's That's like, it's just feels. Like creepy. So this is kind of like a horror-esque comic. Like it's got like. So once these like frogs like possess people, they call it they become like fractured humans is what they call them, and they turn into like shit like this.
Ew! What is that?
Look, you can look closer if you want. So he's like killing people with his tongue, and like more mouths come out because like it's like a trait of that guy.
Ew.
He's like he uses like his words to like hurt people, and so the frogs kind of like accentuate that.
You know what I say to that? Sticks and stones, baby. That's gross.
And so this dude, Jagan or whatever, he's got one of the frogs. We don't find that out till later, but like he's got one and he's able to kind of control it to where it doesn't like possess him like that. And he's got this like arm that turns into like a blaster kind of thing.
Like Mega Man?
Like a bioorganic Mega Man kind of thing.
Okay, sure.
And it fucking pulverizes these dudes in like one hit.
Oh, cool.
And
so is he just like on the hunt for all the frog people?
Yep. And his arm looks like that.
Ooh, I don't like how that looks either.
Yeah, it's a little. It's like a little body horror because sometimes his arm gets out of control, goes on his face and shit.
Ooh.
And it makes me real uncomfy.
Dude, manga artists are a different breed.
I love manga. It's so... I'm glad I found this one because it's like... You really have to like kind of dig for what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so many, there's like a lot of shit, but it's like, once you kind of have like a taste for it, it's kind of hard to find things that are close to things that you like. This one's like pretty similar to like Chainsaw Man, I think.
Okay.
As far as like just story arc and then like the art and whatnot.
Monster design, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like most of the fun.
That's like the coolest part. Yeah.
For sure. So yeah, that one's pretty good. I'm on like chapter 11.
Nice.
And it's only like 140 chapters. So
only.
Did you watch anything new, Nathan?
Mainly Game of Thrones, because
You finished the first season, right?
And yeah, I finished the first season.
And Sophia's like bullying you into like knowing everything.
Dude, sometimes, yeah, she's quizzing me. Someone will show up and be like, what's his fucking name? How many fucking fingers does he have or whatever? Like, when's his birthday?
What family does he come from?
Yeah, like what family does he come from? Who's all of his siblings?
What's their family crest?
Yeah, it's like shit like that. I'm like, I think that's
after
Rob.
After the first season, you definitely aren't catching on to that kind of shit, you know? But
yeah, it's hard. But I
just encourage you to stick with it and be patient. And I think it's something that you could love.
Potentially, because I mean, like the Dink is like the best character.
Oh, he's the best.
And he's like, he's like pretty smart. And he's like, just, I like when he just disses people, but like kind of subtly. I think that's fun. But I feel like they try really hard to make you dislike certain people. And it's like, They try like a little bit too hard.
Like who?
Like Daenerys's brother, who was like,
yeah, he's a creep.
He is like a creep, but like every time you see him, he's doing something that's just like way too much.
Yeah.
Like not even like, I don't know. I feel like I know I'm not supposed to like him, and he can be more unlikable without trying so hard. Like that's the only way I can describe it.
I think it's just kind of like, I think shows that are like super popular tend to have like a lot of characters that you just don't like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no one is like perfect in the show,
fine.
You know, but also there's ones that like are just clearly like the worst, and it makes it just that more satisfying when they die, you know?
Yeah. Like I feel like Joffrey, like I guess spoilers if you haven't seen like the biggest show of all time, but like, I feel like he's kind of like that as well. Not as bad sometimes, but like I would understand when he like kills Ned, be like, okay, he's definitely someone I don't like.
Yeah.
But up until that point, he's trying like way too hard to just like have control of everything, which makes sense for his character, I know. But
dude, that
I don't know. Something about him is just like the writers are like really trying to hammer home that we just don't like him.
You know? Dude like quit acting after he played Joffrey.
Because people hate him so much?
Yeah.
Whoa.
He just goes to like college now.
It's like Skyler from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like that's a character that people don't like, but I feel like is done well.
From her point of view, she has some logic, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, that's totally reasonable.
But you're just on Walt's side, you know? So you kind of.
Because you've been watching the whole time. But like.
She's also not great.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, she like cheats and stuff and like, that's not good, but also
just your husband handy has on your a birthday?
Secret meth empire.
Yeah.
You know, too. Not to like,
yeah, that too.
Choose the lesser evil of the two, but like, so I think that's the only thing that like has just been in my mind, but yeah, I'll probably end up loving it like everybody else.
Yeah. Just like,
cause there's some cool moments, in there. I didn't expect to see the mountain's dick that one time. I was like, look at that.
The mountain's dick.
Or no, sorry, Hodor's dick.
Hodor's, yeah.
Yeah. But pretty good.
Yeah,
good. What have you been watching?
Nothing?
I just be
reading while like Sarah like refuses to watch like anything other than her show right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, she doesn't even like it that much. She just refuses to. I'm like, you want to watch a movie? She's like, what movie? I'm like, I don't know. We got to look.
I don't have a movie primed and ready.
Yeah, I know. Got to be ready with something to pitch to her or whatever.
I think we're going to start a show that's like not an hour long, so that if we don't have an hour to watch a show, we can still watch a show. And I think it's probably going to be Death Note.
Oh, for sure.
So.
Based on how much time you have before bed or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
I guess an Avatar book?
Sure.
So when does the show come out?
February 22nd, I believe.
Wow. Okay.
Let me double check.
So there's some stuff that people have said is good, and I don't remember off the top of my head because I thought we were going to have more time.
Well, that's very helpful, Nathan. Yeah, February 22nd. Did you know that like a lot of these like Avatar comics were written by like Gene Luen Yang?
Really?
Yeah, I think like all of them are.
Oh, sweet. We should do one of those.
Yeah, I think I Googled like the most popular ones because they kind of just fill the gaps.
Right.
Of like, you know, the show.
Let's see what comicbook.com.
Do they rank them or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one called The Search.
You got to look at the descriptions because it might be a little like
what happened to Zuko's mom, Ursa.
So if you want
to, they got to it in this. So probably not that one. Oh, there's this one that takes place right after the series finale. And that one's written by Gene Luen Yang.
That sounds cool. What's that called?
It's called Avatar: The Last Airbender - The Promise. It's by Gene Luen Yang and Guri Hiru. Fans finally got to see how the characters dealt with the aftermath of the 100-year war.
So there's three parts to The Promise. I will just do the first part.
Yeah.
The first part is 80 pages.
Should we do two?
Nah.
Nah.
I guess if
there's one with like Toph.
Toph.
Sorry.
Toph.
I don't know. I haven't seen the show in a while.
No, I like this one. This seems good.
Yeah, it seems like a good point.
This just got 5 stars.
Five?
On fucking Kindle.
Whoa.
Like the omnibus and then all three parts are That's five stars. That's crazy.
This better be a banger then. Also,
I gotta rewatch like the last episode as a refresher.
Dude, it's so cool. Well, like the last episode was like 3 or 4 parts, I think. So maybe we should just watch those.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Appa was lost?
It's been a long time, dude.
You don't remember that?
I haven't done
it
like
was so sad.
I didn't do like the, you know, the pandemic rewatch.
I did.
You know, you did?
Well, I didn't get through all of it, I don't think.
I just remember like specific episodes, like that owl one in the library.
I don't remember that one.
Really? That's the best.
I didn't remember the owl one, but not when Appa was lost for like 4 or 5 episodes. Because
it was scary. Like, it was kind of scary.
There's one where like Toph is like definitely blind because she's in the desert where there's like sand and she can't like really feel the ground that much. And I'm like, damn, that sucks.
Okay. So Avatar: The Promise.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sounds good.
I'm trying to remember.
Wait, how long is this omnibus? Probably like 200 something.
Probably be 160.
240. So the omnibus is like the three parts.
Nah, part one.
Cool. Sounds good. Anything else?
I'm excited for that show. Sophie's never seen it. Avatar.
Avatar?
Yeah.
And she's all like trying to force you to watch.
She doesn't think this is anime.
It's not, but it's still fucking good.
It's like pretty much, you know.
Pretty close.
I think it's a Japanese studio that makes it.
I don't know. I thought it was American.
I mean, it's Nickelodeon.
Maybe
it's
maybe like, American writers or something.
I don't know. But that's what we're going to read next week.
Alrighty. Thanks everyone for listening, for watching. Go check out the link tree. Go like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that. 5 stars. We appreciate it.
Tell us what comics you're getting for your significant other.
Yeah.
If any.
Tell me how to riz my wife on this Valentine's Day. I need help rizzing up my wife.
This comes out before Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah. So we might get some help.
We need some riz help.
Yeah.
From the people that listen to comic book podcasts, yeah, please.
Those people got the riz for
those
sure.
Those are the rizziest.
Cherryspot@gmail.com. And goodbye. Happy Bye. Valentine's Day. Man, we love you.
I only love one person.
And it's me.
God.